If we now turn to the Buddhist tradition and have a look at mindfulness there, we find that mindfulness is very important in the Buddhist tradition. So you get it as one of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's one of the seven factors of enlightenment, the Buddhist like list, as many of you I'm sure will know. It's one of the five spiritual faculties, so it's the central one of those, the one that in a way harmonises the others. And it particularly occurs in something called the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the kind of central sutta that really talks a lot about mindfulness, and which I'll be referring to quite a bit. There's been two very good commentaries that came out in 2003, one by Sangharakshita called Living with Awareness, which is probably in your bookshop, and one by Bhikkhu Anālio, which again is very good commentary on it, which might also be in the bookshop. So I just say a few words about this sutta. Quite often in Buddhist suttas you have a whole story before you get onto the main teaching. In this one, the Buddha kind of just goes straight to the point. He gets, in this case, the monk's attention, and then he says to them, "Monks, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, for the realization of nirvana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness." So actually the Buddha's making a very big claim here. He's saying it's the direct way. Other translations translate it as the only way, although probably, anyway, Anālio, yes, that probably isn't correct. It's more that it takes you straight there, in this case, straight to enlightenment, rather than being the exclusive way of getting there. So let's have a look at what mindfulness is. There are two main words to use to translate mindfulness, and they're used a bit synonymously, but they have slightly different meanings. One is sati and the other is sampajanya. So sati is particularly refers to awareness of the present moment, or bare awareness, it's sometimes talked about. But it also has a meaning of recollection or memory. In other words, it's kind of like you understand what's going on in the present, partly because you're able to recollect the past, and particularly you understand the ethical significance of what you're about. And then there's sampajanya, which means mindfulness of purpose or clear comprehension. And this is more, if you like, future regarding. And particularly it's mindfulness with respect to what you're trying to do, what your goal is, which might be to gain enlightenment, for example. And sometimes the two are put together. They are in the Satipatthana Sutta quite a bit, as Satisampajana, which is usually translated as mindfulness and clear knowledge. In other words, it's knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it. So you're completely and fully and utterly present, but you also know where you're about, what you're off to, you know, and you also deeply understand the significance of what you're doing. Very rich word. In the suttas, you get various analogies for sati or mindfulness. And I'll talk you through a few of those. So one is, it's like climbing a tower. So you get this idea, you've got this tower, and you get perspective, you can sort of see, you know, like climbing Half Dome or something like that. That was in Yosemite yesterday, today. So it's like you get up really high and you just see a long way. There's also a sense of detachment as well, I think, inherent in that analogy. Then there's the idea of the surgeon's probe. So the surgeon's probe is like going into things to gather information to find out, is that a, you know, what is that, a cyst, or is that a hard tumour, or what's going on there? Then there's a couple more to do with the idea of balance. So one is a skilled charioteer, and one is carrying a bowl of oil on your head, this idea of not spilling a drop of this perfectly full. And you're probably walking on a tight rope as well. But, then another one is a gatekeeper of a town. So the idea of the gatekeeper is that they allow bona fide citizens in, but they keep out unwanted individuals. So the idea of this is in a way of guarding the mind and having a bit of an overview of the mind. And then finally, there's another analogy, is having wild animals tied to a strong post. So it's this idea that it has a stabilizing effect, or an unshakeable effect. So again, lots of sort of rich associations with this idea of mindfulness. So if we look at the Satipatthana Sutta, it covers mindfulness in four main areas, usually referred to as foundations, which are body, feeling in the sense of whether something's pleasurable or unpleasurable, mental states like anger, jealousy, love, and mindfulness is doctrinal formulations, referred to as dharma, such things as the Four Noble Truths. And in a way, particularly applying those doctrinal formulations to your mind. In other words, using them as a guide to get a sense of what's going on in your mind. And after each bit of description of these foundations, the Buddha says this: in this way, in regard to the body, or the feeling, or whichever one it is, he abides contemplating the body internally, externally, both internally and externally. He abides contemplating the nature of arising, of passing away, of both arising and passing away in the body. Mindfulness that there is a body is established in him to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness. And he abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how, in regard to the body, he abides contemplating the body. So there's quite a few little bits there which I'll run through. So first of all, he contemplates it internally, externally, or both. So in other words, when we're practicing mindfulness, we're made aware of ourselves, but we're also aware of other people. So internally and externally. And perhaps the latter is a bit that's not being explored so much in contemporary Dharmic practice. And then the advice is to contemplate the nature of arising, passing away, and both. In other words, it's looking at what brings things into being and what leads to things to go away. So how come something comes into our experience? How come it goes away from our experience? And then there's awareness just for the sake of knowledge and continued mindfulness. So I think what this is getting at is about not getting lost in lots of associations, which, again, I'll come back to later. And then finally, abiding independently, not clinging to anything in the world. In a way, this is where it all leads to from the Buddha's point of view, the eventual state of complete detachment and freedom. Whereas in a way, the first three are methods of how to get there.